Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we did a hadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed a gold ring on the hand of a man. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed that gold ring and he cast it aside. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if any one of you desires to hold a piece of hot coal from the fire of Jahannam, then he should wear this. In other words, for a man to wear gold is not permissible. Rasulullah ﷺ took out that person's ring, he cast it aside, and he said, if any one of you would like to hold a coal from the fire of Jahannam, then he should wear this coal. So this was the practical example of Rasulullah ﷺ in forbidding evil, in stopping something that was wrong. So Rasulullah ﷺ had left. So someone told this person that this ring that Nabi ﷺ cast aside, take it, it's yours, and you can still benefit from it. Okay, you're not allowed to wear it, but you can sell it, or you can give it to someone, or you can use it in exchange of some payment, but you can take some benefit from it. The reason why I'm mentioning this, one thought came to the mind, is that Sahaba was so meticulous, so particular about something that was disliked by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There wasn't a concept of making some loophole that is something that is haram, this is how we can make it halal. That thought wasn't even in the mind of Sahaba. Yeah, something was halal for this person. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him he can't wear it. But he could have still used it. He could have took some other benefit from it. He could have taken the value. He could have used it as a payment. He could have used it as a repayment of debt. Something he could have done with that gold ring that he had. Not to say that he was a wealthy person. He could just allow it to just get casted aside and think nothing of it. But look at the answer that this Sahabi had given. That he says that I will never take something after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cast it aside. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cast this thing aside, I will never take it again. Something that was permissible for him, so it is for us to think, that imagine if something is impermissible, how can we ever take it? How can we ever look for loopholes? Yeah, there was a loophole, so to speak, or there was a possibility was for him to take it, but my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't like it, how can I take it? So we have to be even more careful when things are haram, that we don't even think of making loopholes. A good example is the example of riba. Riba is haram, it's interest. Person is lending and he's taking more than he's lending, he's borrowing and he's repaying more than he's borrowing. So now sometimes you find that some loopholes are made in the name of Islamic financing. The same thing is happening, the person is still paying more than he borrowed. A person has invested some money, he's still taking more from the bank than he lent the bank. But yet we are all in the name of these different type of loopholes. A person is taking more than he has given, or he's repaying more than he has borrowed. So we have to ask ourselves, is this the spirit that Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in displayed? So today's hadith, and Abi Sayyid al-Hasan al-Basri radiyallahu anhu, and A'idh ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, dakhala ala Ubaidillah ibn Ziyadin, faqala ay bunayya, inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, inna sharra al-ri'aya al-hutama, fa'iyaka an takuna minhum, faqala lahu ijlis, fa'innama anta min nukhalati ashabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala wa hal kanat lahum nukhalatun, إنما كانت النخالة بعدهم وفي غيرهم رواه مسلم. As Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a tabi. He was born about 2 years before the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu completed. So he was born at that time. So he was a great personality. He would give great talks. He was a great orator. He was a great muhaddis. So he's narrating this hadith. He's saying there was a sahabi by the name of A'idh ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. So this sahabi, A'id ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, went to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. At that time, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad was the leader. He was the leader, but a very, very oppressive leader. He was like a tyrant, very, very oppressive leader. Now, he was not a sahabi. The leader was not a sahabi, but his A'id ibn Amr radiallahu anhu was a sahabi. He was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went up to this tyrant leader, who was not a sahabi. He was a tabi. He went up to him, and he said to him, that, hey Bunayya, oh my son, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the worst of rulers are those that are oppressive. Imagine, he's going up to a tyrant ruler, and he's telling him that these are the words I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here it shows us that Sahaba was fearless, that he was an oppressive ruler. And you know, oppressive ruler got all the power in the world to do what he wants, to say what he wants, to harm you and to take personal revenge against you for saying something like this. But he didn't worry. He said what was right. This is why it's coming under this chapter of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Sahaba were fearless. They were not afraid. that what is right is right, what is wrong is wrong. There's no mincing and there's no mixing up things. You must be very clear about what is right and what is wrong. So he goes up to him and he tells him that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying the worst of rulers are those who are oppressive. I warn you against being from one of them. He tells him now that I'm warning you that you don't be from one of them. From who? One of those oppressive rulers. So now this Ibn Ziyad, he replied now, this oppressive ruler, Ubaidullah Ibn Ziyad, he replies to him and tells him, have a seat, take a seat. And then he tells him that you are nothing but the husk. Husk meaning the insignificant, you know, when you get that husk, that remaining portion of the wheat, that's insignificant now, the fine powder that is now sifted, that is the valuable, and whatever is left now is that husk. So in other words, he's mocking at him. He said, you are nothing but the husk from the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, you are like the just the leftover from the Sahaba. You got no value. Now what a serious thing to tell a Sahabi. He's telling you are like, you are nothing but the husk from the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Aiz radiallahu anhu, he replies to him and he tells him, he said, was there any husk among Sahaba? In other words, every Sahabi was beautiful. Every Sahabi was great. He said, was there any husk among Sahaba? In other words, how can you say that you are the husk? He's not praising himself directly, but he's posing a question to him. He says, from Sahaba, can you get any husk? So then, the husk, then he tells him now, fearless is how he's speaking, and he's telling him, he said, the husk is from amongst those who came after Sahaba, and those who are not Sahaba. In other words, none from the Sahaba were husk, none of them were insignificant. Every Sahabi was significant, every Sahabi was valuable. Those that are husk are those that come after them, and those that are not from them. In other words, likely that you are from them, you are from the husk, but none of the Sahaba were from the husk. None of them were insignificant. And this is how bold, and he was clear what he had to say. So therefore this hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi brought it here to show us that Sahaba, this was their condition. Very clear, very open, not afraid to say what was right. Ulama explained that for a person to speak like this and to be very clear, to be open, bold, one thing, one quality he needs to have is the ruhani taqat. From the ruhani side, he must needs to be very, very strong. In other words, he's a person that is meticulous about those things that he needs to do. He's very meticulous about leaving out all gunas. Now when he has that ruhani taqat, he can speak openly even to those people that are leaders and those people that are oppressive. Otherwise, the ordinary person doesn't have this ability. He can speak in his own circles, but for him to directly speak to such great people who are now the rulers is very hard. But Sahaba had that ruhani taqat, they had that internal power. Because of that internal power, they were able to speak like this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanaka, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.